Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Roger Nelson. I'm the CEO of the West Maricopa Association of Realtors, a member of the AEC Leadership Programming Team, which is the group that planned this session today. It's my pleasure to welcome you here. We're excited to present this Leadership Express program, which allows you to attend two 40-minute sessions in the next hour and a half. Here are a few notes before we get started. Please turn the ringer off your cell phones. And please make sure that you fill out an evaluation form attached to the back of the handout. Your feedback is very important, and I can stress this because we looked at it from last year. Your feedback is very important to the staff and volunteers who plan these sessions. I want to thank you again for coming. Now I have the pleasure of introducing Brad Ritter. From CEOs to celebrity chefs, Brad Ritter has helped hundreds of elected and corporate leaders nationwide tell their stories more effectively in front of journalists, TV cameras, and live audiences. A former television reporter, anchor, and producer, he has prepared clients for interviews with such media outlets as The Wall Street Journal, CNN, ABC World News Tonight, and NPR. Brad began his career as a reporter at the CBS television station in Toledo, Ohio, and eventually launched his own firm. Please join me in welcoming Brad Ritter as he presents Selling Your Story, Media Communications in a YouTube World. Brad?
Thank you, Roger. All right, Friday afternoon. You've been here all week. It's almost over. So thank you for sticking around for Selling Your Story. I'm going to make this very fun and engaging. If any of you were coming here expecting this was going to be your standard click, click, click PowerPoint presentation, sorry, all bets are off. Our mantra is no boring training. We're going to be putting a number of you to work. We happen to have the TV camera here. So some of you just maybe stars. Our goal for today is to help you be savvy spokespeople so that you can best represent your association, your industry, and yourself in front of the media in your community. And of course, as you know, it's a dramatically changing media landscape out there, things changing with social media almost by the hour. So we're going to get started, find out just about how much you all know about selling your story. We're going to do a little game show we call You Be the Spokesperson. All of you in the studio audience get to play along at home, but we've got three carefully selected volunteers who are going to come on up and play our little game show. So if you all would step up to our microphone, introduce yourselves if you would.
Dessa Holtz, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Pat Dalton, Prince George's County, Maryland.
John Coulter, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay. Now, if you haven't already, buckle your seatbelts because we're going to be doing here in 40 minutes, that's what they call Leadership Express, what we typically do in 2, 3, 4 hours, sometimes even a full day. So we're going to go fast, fast, fast. So can all of you see the screen? Okay. I'm going to go through a few questions. Studio audience, play along. So a reporter calls you on your cell phone as you're getting ready to do a very important showing. Do you answer his questions, tell him to call back later, run for cover, or do you do something else? Our experts here step up to the microphone and tell us what you would do. John?
I would do something else. I would get the number and I'd tell him I'd call him back.
Okay. Pat?
I agree. I would do the same thing. I would always call back because I want to be prepared.
She agrees. All right. We're moving. We're moving. This is good. Audience? Agree? Good answer. How long is a good sound bite? Would you say it's 7 seconds? 30? 3? 140 characters? Tessa?
3 seconds.
30 seconds.
Well, I'll say 7 seconds.
Okay, we're going to have some suspense here because I'm not going to give you the answer yet. How many in the audience think 7? 30? 3? 140 characters. I got a surprise answer for you coming up. All right. A TV asked you to report comment on a new report that home prices will increase 5 to 6% this year in 2016. I think that's consistent with NAR's forecast. So what's your response? You say, nobody can afford a house as it is? Something else. John, start with you. What would your answer to that question be?
Would be something else. I would say that that's a good quote or good estimate.
Okay. Pat, any thoughts on what to say?
Something else. It's a wonderful time to buy, and you're going to make some money.
Okay. Dessa.
I'd want to look at the data first and see if it was supported. So something else.
Okay. All good answers. Anybody from the audience, anything come to the top of your mind that you'd throw out? Thank you. All real estate is local. Launch into your local stuff. Okay, you're jumping ahead. You've already passed the course. Thank you. Okay, we have a little problem here. Jane covers your business in your hometown. Got the facts wrong in her article. Again, it's not the first time. So what do you do? Just let it go? Do you call her boss? Or do you tweet your favorite line from Saturday Night Live? Jane. Pat. What would you do?
I'd call Jane and give her the real facts.
Set her straight?
Yes.
John?
I agree. That's what I would do.
Okay.
I would also call her, but I would ask for a correction, and if not possible, could I do my own letter to correct the facts?
All good answers. A lot of working with the media and your local media, it's really about building and maintaining good relationships. And a lot of times people get very upset when something is wrong. They might want to just call the boss. They just let it go and grumble. Keep in mind, things get reported again and again and again. So if it's on her webpage and it's wrong, it's going to be wrong until she gets it right the next time. So good answers. If you'll pardon the potty humor, open-ended question here. How many people have updated their social status or other social activities while on the potty? Anybody want to guess? We'll let you just throw that out. Tessa?
65%.
65 from Tessa. Pat?
50.
50? John?
Oh, I guess 90.
90. I'm going to guess John actually might be closer because this research is about a year old. But that's what the research shows. Okay. All right. Enough of the potty humor and the game show. Let's hear it for Tessa, Pat, and John. Good job, everyone. Come on down. You know, I mentioned at the outset, and Roger, you're going to come on up, we're going to put you to work as well, that the whole goal of this program is to help you be a savvy spokesperson in front of the media, social media, bloggers in your community. So we've identified 10 key traits, but because this is the express version, you're only going to get 7. So we're still going to ask Roger, though, to be our David Letterman to do our top 7 list.
Number 1, uses multiple channels well.
Think about how much time people are on social media, where they're getting news from. It isn't just the traditional news channels anymore, their papers, websites, and such. As a spokesperson, you need to understand the differences in working with media today and how they're using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram to tell their story so that you can be more effective working with them. Number 2,
responds rapidly.
This has always been an issue between business people and media. As a TV reporter, I'd have people wanting to get coverage all the time, pitch me on stories. I'd say, well, I'll let you know if something comes up. I'd finally call them up and say, hey, got an opportunity, need an interview. Well, I can get the CEO a week from Tuesday. No, I'm packaging for 11 o'clock news tonight. How about, like, the next hour? Things are moving faster and faster. You need to have within your organization what we call a culture of responsibility. It doesn't mean doing the interview right away, but at least being able to respond to the reporter and get things moving.
Number 3, tell stories.
One of the most effective communications tools, people often forget about it. Think about the stories that you experience every day. You're talking about facts, figures, statistics, but you need to bring those to life with stories. Think about that couple that just bought a house, maybe the new empty nesters. Think about how TV stories are put together. What do you always see? The first thing, it's the home buyers walking up to the house or something of that nature. Same with web and newspaper stories. It's about people. You are a wealth of people's stories that can support your messages.
Number 4, creates a character.
Okay. Do we have some characters running for president this year or what? Now, without getting into politics, I've seen Donald Trump speak in the past, and he was a very different character than what we see in front of the TV cameras today. We're hearing from political insiders that we're going to start seeing a different Donald Trump. Like him, dislike him, you can see what happens when you are a character. We're all different personalities. Who you are in front of your customers, your family in the office, it's all a different character. Think about your media character, your media personality.
Number five, adapts to different audiences.
Thinking back to a certain presidential candidate, how he is in front of a big crowd is very different than how he is in front of a single interviewer. You need to adapt your style as a storyteller, as a character. How you communicate with a TV reporter would be different than how you'd communicate with a business reporter, different how you might communicate with a blogger.
Number six, performs well on camera.
Everything is going to video. Mobile video, newspapers are doing video interviews, you go to trade shows, they're doing videos, Facebook videos. You need to be able to communicate effectively on camera, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, to be a truly savvy spokesperson.
Number seven, manages attacks effectively.
A lot of haters out there. In the long presentation, we show my favorite hater out there, Grumpy Cat. A lot of grumpy cats out there, and the fact is your industry is one where you can get in some controversies, some issues, that you need to be prepared to deal with those effectively, because when the you-know-what hits the fan, you don't have a whole lot of time to prepare and respond. You need to be able to jump on it right away, tell your story effectively, and that requires being prepared. Roger, thank you very much. Good job to Mr. Letterman, our fill-in. Working with the media, conducting interviews, is like most things in life and in business. It's a process. And there are three steps to effectively working with the interview. The first one is what you do long before the interview even happens. That question about the reporter calls as you're going into a showing, that was there so we could talk a little bit about managing the inquiry, things that you need to do before you even agree to conduct the interview. You want to ask yourself, am I the right person? Do we have something to say? Can I be prepared in time? Do we have good, relevant information to provide? Is this an issue that we have a stake in, or is it one that maybe we shouldn't be a part of? Then you want to know, what's the deadline? Reporters will call up. They want it now. But ask them. If it's a newspaper reporter getting ready for a Sunday special, you may have a week, sometimes even a couple of weeks. Believe it or not, there are still reporters who will call that far out. More than likely, they're going to say, well, my next web deadline is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Can you get me something by then? And you can negotiate on that a little bit. If you just can't accommodate that, if it's not in your best interest, I would love to help you. Could we possibly have some extra time to get the information together? I'm tied up until 4 this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning. And they'll tell you, yep, there's a pretty good chance. Yeah, we can do that. Or they may say, no, I'm sorry, I really can't. I've got to get the story written. If you're not able to be the spokesperson at that point or you're not the appropriate one, at least direct them to someone else. Maybe it's somebody else within your association, a colleague you know. But try to at least help out that reporter because it's, again, relationships. And if you notice how reporters go back to the same people and quote them again and again and again, it's because they're good. They're responsive. They deliver good information. They deliver good sound bites. Next, you need to prepare for the interview. And you're going to spend far more time on this step than you are actually doing the interview. So we're going to spend a good chunk of the next few minutes talking about how to prepare for the interview, because that's one of the biggest mistakes people make. They want to be helpful. The phone rings or the email comes in. Maybe you hear from your executive director, hey, so-and-so at Channel 5 wants to do an interview. Can you be down there in 30 minutes? Well, chances are you're not going to be terribly well prepared to deliver your story. So where do you start? Well, it really begins with thinking like a reporter. You've already asked them in the prep process, or your staff has, what they want to cover in the interview. So you know that from the initial management of the inquiry. So what are they really looking for? What do reporters want in a story on real estate? Just throw out a few things.
Statistics,
yeah. What? Forecasts. They want an interesting story.
Trends.
I'm sorry?
Trends.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They like all of those kinds of things, and that's all good, and your industry is very good at providing that. You've got tons of it available. But there's something they want more and need from you more than any of that. It's the sound bites and the quotes. So those pithy little comments, some thought 3 seconds, some thought 30. not going to give you the answer just yet. But these are the color commentary, if you will, in the story. Reporters are taught in journalism school how to organize the facts, present them hopefully in a straightforward, understandable, and accurate fashion. They are not supposed to make their own editorial comments, although we see in the media more and more of that changing, especially in cable news. But they're looking for you to bring the story to life, and especially television and video, where those sound bites are so important. People get tired of looking at just pictures of houses and for sale signs and a reporter saying, rah, 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 rah. They need you to help bring the story to life. So, what is the perfect sound bite? Read that. If anybody wants to time it on your phone or on your watch, that is, took me about 7.5 seconds to read that. It is 140 characters by chance. The reason we have that trick question in there, just interestingly enough, 7-8 seconds is really the ideal soundbite. Anything less than that, you really can't say much of anything. Anything much longer than that is going to get edited. It used to be in the 70s, 30-second soundbites were pretty common. They're getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So that 7 or 8 second range for a TV story or for a newspaper quote is perfect. And that just happens to be a good tweet. And any of you very active on Twitter, either professionally or personally? 140 characters. Clear, concise, pithy, compelling, interesting. And when I'm doing press releases for clients, often the quotes that I write are also exactly what we tweet. So as you go through your interview prep, think about that. And for these folks who are going to be back up on stage, think about that as well. How can you answer your questions? And you can't always communicate a lot of information, but the reporter's going to communicate the facts and the information. Your job is to deliver the soundbite. So just one little tip here on that information. Get it to them in advance by email. Take it to the interview with you so they have it in front of them. When things go wrong in a story, more times than not, it is the statistics. They didn't understand them, read them too quickly, and it's hard for you as a spokesperson to be just rattling off a bunch of facts. So if you're going to be doing an interview on facts, get them to them in advance, go over them with them before the camera comes on, and have them with you. So if the question does come up about the facts, you can refer to them. So I'm going to show you a sample here from some of your colleagues in California. Take a look at the sound bites in here.
Realtors today predicted home sales will rise a mere 1% next year. Prices will go up only 1.7%. As ABC 7's Karina Russ reports, it's not so easy being a realtor these days.
Between them, Jeffrey Wright, Sue Walsh, and Chuck Nadell have 96 years of Bay Area real estate experience. They are survivors in one of the most challenging housing markets anyone has ever seen.
You have to be adaptable, you have to get in these niche markets, and you have to be professional, and you have to be a hard worker.
You'll find a lot of that at the annual California Realtor Expo being held in San Jose. More than 6,000 attendees are networking and learning. This presentation is all about using social media. Success today requires experience with a new infusion of blogs and Facebook.
People are very cautious. People want good service. People want good knowledge. And if we're not on top of how to communicate that, then I think we are missing what's important.
At the height of California's housing boom, there was one real estate agent for every 50 adults. In the last 5 years, that number has plummeted at 30%.
The so-called Google factor means there are still high commissions to be had in luxury real estate. But far more common, agents must know the ins and outs of foreclosures, short sales, and dealing with the banks.
The market right now, the interest rate is the lowest it's ever been. But try to get along. It's really difficult. You almost have to be perfect.
The association's chief economist predicts a 1% increase in home sales next year, which she says is job security for those who do their jobs well.
Today, we see that the realtor is absolutely critical for this market because it is the local information that really makes transactions go.
Even realtors honing their skills, they have a challenge is what they can't control, consumer confidence and economic uncertainty. In San Jose, Karina Russ, ABC 7 News.
I thought they all did great. How about you? And yes, some had been through some media training. That's a little commercial there. But think about what made those good, effective sound bites. And of course, we don't know what got edited out. I'm suspecting that those folks gave that reporter a number of good things to pick from. But they were pithy, they were to the point, they were personable, they were believable, they were credible, and most importantly, they're all very likable. And that's what's really important in being a spokesperson, both in building relationships with the media. If your local writers trust you, like you, think you're trying to help them out, they'll come back to you time and time again. And of course, the people who read the stories or see you on Facebook, see you on TV, need to like you as a person, as a character, before they'll accept your message. So, preparing for that interview and coming up with those good sound bites doesn't just happen. Typically, you want to think through your interview and come up with 3 or 4 key points. Write them down, get them on your iPad, your computer, your phone, however you work best. But may only be 1 point, or maybe 2 points. You don't have to have 3 or 4, but avoid the temptation to give people too much. When I was a TV reporter, people would show up with stacks of documents. I'd be doing a 20-minute interview thinking, please, will somebody give me a sound bite? I don't have time to go through all this. I got to get back to the station, and I got 45 minutes to get a story together. You make it easy for them, and you make it more effective for your own good when you have just a few key points and find different ways to keep restating them during the interview. And you want to make certain that you are speaking from the audience's point of view. Most likely, it's going to be your potential home buyers, your sellers. If you're doing a business article, it may be a little bit different. But think about who is reading this article. And it's about them. Unless you're being asked questions about your industry and perhaps legislation that may affect you, it's all about the audience. People don't care about us. They care about them. You've already asked in the prep process the reporter, what do you want to talk about? And here's one little tip. If you're setting up the interview yourself directly, typically it will go like this. You get a phone call or probably an email. Hey, I'm doing a story on house trends. Would you be available for an interview this afternoon, tomorrow, whatever? Right back saying, sure. What would you like to talk about? What questions do you have in mind? Now, journalists are taught in J school, you don't give your sources the questions because you don't want canned, media-trained answers. Now, we don't want you to give canned answers, but we do want you to be prepared. So it's completely appropriate to ask what the questions are, and most times they'll tell you, and a lot of times things are going so fast these days, the reporter is actually writing the questions for the first time. They're beginning to think through what they're going to ask. Some may already have them in mind, but in many cases, they're coming up with the questions right then and there, and they'll send them to you. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only thing they're going to ask, but at least you have a good place to start. But also, anticipate other questions that may come up, especially if you've got a journalist who covers your industry regularly that knows more than your typical reporter who might do one real estate story a year. Is there any controversial issues, any past or recent problems in the industry that somebody might say, well, what about that agent that got indicted last month? It's like, ooh, where did that come from? So you can't anticipate everything, but at least think through what other issues might come up. Here's one really important point, and this works really well in presentations and in business communications in general. Start with your conclusion first. How often are you listening to someone and you're thinking, where is the person going with this? They're talking. It's like climbing up a ladder. It's like, are they ever going to get there? Well, what do reporters want? They want the point, the conclusion, that key message. So start with that. Be able to answer a question in that 7-10 second range, if you can, and stop. That's your point. That's your conclusion. You can pause and then go on and explain it a little bit more as need be. But that makes it easy for the reporter to understand what's important to you. You are guiding them. There's nothing worse as a reporter to do an interview and say, I really don't know what this person was trying to tell me. I want to know what's important to them, and they're not making it easy on me. So starting with your conclusion will help to do that. And as you are preparing and thinking about your conclusions, chances are your sound bites are going to come into play. When you hear a good talk, chances are it didn't just happen, it was written. People thought through their presentation points, and if you do multiple interviews, you'll start using the same sound bites again and again and again. You might change them up a little bit, but you want to go into an interview with a few quick, little, pithy, colorful comments and thoughts that you can weave into the interview as opposed to just letting it happen. A couple things that are very specific to your industry, and that's the idea of just being human. Often as business people, and especially men, we tend to get really wrapped up in the facts and the figures. We forget about the emotional aspect, and that's what really storytelling and news storytelling is all about. Think about the ups and downs of the home business. Looking at that TV clip from a few years ago, God, aren't we all glad things have changed? But there were very human stories back then about people losing their homes. We have challenges now about people not being able to get financing. Think about your role as a realtor and how you help people achieve the American dream. So get away from just the facts and the figures and communicate with empathy on a very human angle. You know, here's an example. And as we talk about sound bites, remember that script from the soundbite has your organization and a key message? Getting realtors in there, and please, it's realtors, not realtors. We have this ongoing problem. We have a really funny video that we use in the long program. It's realtors. In your case, you can say Bay Area realtors, or as a realtor in this local board, or what have you. Get your name in there. See, we've also got that buzzword, the American dream. Another example. This is using the stories, and here you can see where you would fill in the blank, your local board of realtors. And a lot of times it's a bit of a mouthful, the blah, 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 association of realtors, but at least try to find ways to get realtor and your association name in there. And remember, you're speaking on behalf of your association, not necessarily yourself. And one final, the secret weapon as you're preparing, think about what one question could come up that you don't want to answer, and go ahead and develop the answer. Guaranteed, two things will happen. Doggone it, the reporter's never going to ask the question, but at least you're prepared. But if she does, you're able to get through it. She'll never even notice that she's hit you with a really tough one. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the process of conducting interviews. You have a game plan. There is a reason that you are doing this interview. You're putting yourself out there. You're putting your association out there. You're putting time into this. You have messages that you want to communicate. Stick to those. If the reporter goes off into the weeds on different topics, you don't have to go there. You agreed to talk about this particular topic instead of questions. And it's not that there's anything nefarious normally going on. If you're doing a good job, the reporter's thinking, hey, I might be able to get a couple stories out of this. But you're not prepared to talk about those other issues unless you just happen to be very knowledgeable on them. So it's fine to say to the reporter, I would love to talk with you more about that. Could we schedule a follow-up interview? And here's one little trick that will help get you out of sticky situations. Set a time frame up front with the reporter. You're probably doing this by email. Love to talk with you. I've got 20 minutes tomorrow morning at 10:30. Will that work? Reporter says, great. So all of a sudden, reporter's off into the weeds, into things that you don't want to talk about. Well, guess what? Your 20 minutes are up. You've got the perfect out, so you don't have to get into that. Or you may even want to direct them to another source who can better help them on that particular topic. This is a big ongoing problem. When you hear somebody saying those two little words, what do you think? Guilty as charged, hiding something. It just has become a part of the vernacular, and it just comes out. There are ways around this. Chances are there's a reason that you cannot speak to a particular issue, because maybe you don't have the facts, maybe you're not the appropriate spokesperson, but avoid those just two words, which become the perfect three-second bad soundbite, and say, I'm not the appropriate one to speak to that. I would suggest you talk with so-and-so, or I don't have that information handy, but I'd be happy to follow up and get that to you. You want to make certain you're always telling the truth, and I'm not suggesting that any of you would intentionally mislead or lie, but when you get into facts and things are going quickly, you get hit with a quest and you're thinking, well, I think it happened this way, or it was this percent, and then you find out later you're wrong, then you've got a problem. So you can just feel free. Well, looking for our special guest we had coming up. To just tell the reporter, I don't have that information. I'll be happy to get it to you. Direct them to someone else. Now, the striptease method in interviewing. Any guesses as to what that might mean? Ooh. Give them just enough. You are experts in real estate. you know far more than the reporter does. You know far more than they could possibly use in a story. So stick to your messages, keep it brief, and stop. Let them ask the follow-up questions. It's not your job to keep the interview going. If it's a broadcast interview, they're going to edit out that dead air. Newspaper interview, you know, what do? Leave like big blank spaces in the paper or on the web page? No. Answer the question, stop, let the reporter keep it going. You want to, of course, use very simple language. Think as if you were talking to a customer, one of your clients. You know, newspapers are edited at the sixth grade level. So think about that as if you were explaining your topic, your messages, to a sixth grader. You really need to keep it that simple. Now, if you're talking to a business writer doing a business story, you may be able to get a little more detailed. You want to avoid getting into things that create controversy. We know media and the public love controversy. Speculating, criticizing, finger-pointing, all that kind of stuff, guarantee way to get your coverage, but probably not the kind of coverage that you like. And as I mentioned, if you don't have the information, that's all right. Just tell the reporter you don't have it. They don't want wrong facts either. Here's a little trick, though. Ask them when they need the information, and if they tell you, well, you know, I really need it this afternoon, you'll know it's important, because if you say, well, the person who's got that is on vacation, could I get that to you later in the week? You'll get a sense of how important it is. There's nothing worse than spending a lot of time trying to track down information and then finding out after the fact you missed the deadline or they didn't really need it. So here's our special guest. We moved Mark around this time. But good advice. Now, a few interview techniques. You've done your prep. You've got your messages. You want to make certain that you're communicating with a lot of passion, even over the phone. You can tell how people are interacting and how enthused they are by their voice on the phone. A reporter can tell your personality, your frame of mind, but you also want to be sincere. Because you're in the sales business, sometimes interviews can be a little too salesy. Reporters don't like being sold. They want you to be passionate, colorful, but don't give them a sales pitch. It's very important to listen during interviews, too. The reporter will often spit back information to you. They're doing two things. One, they want to make sure they get it right. They really do care about that. Or they may be writing your quotes for you. If you just said something in 60 seconds that was a little verbose, and they come back and deliver to you in 1 8-second little sound bite, chances are they're writing your quotes for you. And if you say, yes, that's correct, I can guarantee you they're going to write that on the web page and attribute it to you. If you don't like it, if it's wrong, that's the time to set them straight. You never want to go off the record unless you want to see it on the web page, on TV, in the paper, etc. Now, negative questions. And you get into some negative issues. How do you deal with those? Well, people tend to restate the assertion. You want to avoid that and just stick to the positive. I'm going to give you an example here. Mariah Carey, some years ago, was having some issues, was in the tabloid. So she went on Larry King, supposedly to set the record straight. Sat down next to him and he goes, so Mariah, are you wacko or what? Well, what did she say? So what's everybody think? Right. She may have been, we don't know, but she just sort of confirmed that. She should have turned that around by simply saying, oh, Larry, thank you for asking. I'm fine. Avoid the negative. Use positive language. And here's one little set of phraseology that will really help you. To the contrary. Well, aren't realtor commissions really the reason that people can't afford homes? No, our commissions aren't the reason people can't afford homes. That's not true. Now, that's not going to play very well. To the contrary, realtors play a very important role in bringing together buyers and sellers so that everyone can enjoy the American dream. That just is a perfect, what we call a bridge. Examples of some words that you can use to move from the negative assertion to the point that you want to make. Let's put this in context is one of my favorites. Now, looking quickly at video, a few little tips. What do you think matters the most when you see somebody on Facebook video, Skype interview, TV, especially a TV interview? Is it what they say? Is it how they sound, how they look? How many people think it's your words? We're talking a lot about messages here. Voice? Appearance. Yep, it's appearance. But what this really tells us is that you need to have the right appearance. appearance. And I'm not talking just about how you dress, how you look, how you sound, but it's being likable and believable and not having anything that interferes with your presentation so that people will accept your words. They've got to like you before they will listen to you and act on what you want them to do. So a few quick TV techniques. It's all about the soundbite for TV, so have those in mind. We'll do a little demo up here in a moment, but unless you're directed otherwise, you look at the reporter, and you want to make sure you keep your eyes on the reporter. Don't let your eyes start shifting around. Remember, the key TV camera shows just this, so everything gets magnified. You want to be talking quickly, but still conversationally and not so fast. And most of all, on TV, even if it's a serious subject, smile. Your number one best weapon. Really tough for guys. Be interesting to see our experts are coming back up on stage. So we've got two women. John, now the pressure's on. You've got a great smile. We want to see it. Few mannerisms to avoid. The ums, the ahs. It comes from not being prepared. Especially on TV, women tend to play with the hair, the earrings. Men will often be rocking back and forth in a chair. All of those kinds of things, all very distracting on TV. They affect your appearance. Fashion police are called in here real quickly. All of you tend to dress very professionally, don't have a problem with realtors, but just a few things to keep in mind. Solids are best. Animal prints and things of that nature can be somewhat distracting on TV. You can get TV cameras to freak out. You want to keep the jewelry to a minimum. Guys, nose rings just don't work. I don't care what market you're in. Well, maybe Northern California, but keep it very plain, very simple. Yep. A little Vaseline on the lips, believe it or not, helps keep the chompers going. And finally, find some time to practice. Get out your iPhone, listen to yourself, have somebody shoot you with a video camera if you're going on TV. Practice is absolutely critical, which is what we are going to do now, because we're going to play another round of You Be the Spokesperson. So I'm going to ask Pat, John, and Tessa to come back on up. And I'm going to ask Roger to come up and be our videographer. Okay, we're going to interview you one at a time. For Leadership Express, we don't get a full-blown technical crew, so excuse me for a moment while I push buttons and hope it works. Okay, now, quick lesson on how TV interviews are set up for those of you who may not have done them. Roger, if you can step a little bit closer. All right. So,
where are you? There you are.
Here I am. Okay, yep, we got our camera. We got our videographer here. John's job is to look directly at me. I'm going to turn you a little bit this way. Okay. And actually, I'm going to move over to this side. There we go. So you're going to want to be looking at me. Perfect, perfect. All right. So Roger is rolling. Now, we did give them the questions this afternoon so that they have a little time to think through their answers. Again, we don't want people having to do interviews unprepared, so they have been given those. And we're going to do one quick question. So, John, we appreciate you joining us and talking a little bit about real estate. With home prices being so high in our town, why should a seller even worry about working with a realtor? Why pay that huge commission when you can just put it on the market and sell it yourself in 3 days?
Well, to the contrary, Brad, the realtor is really important, especially in a market like today. Number one, they're experts in negotiations, so buyers are very, very savvy now today. Number two, they have all the proper forms and they're trained in how to use them. Number three, they they know the market. They know the local market, and all real estate is local. And number four, all of my members are trained and they're in the code of ethics of the National Association of Realtors, and so they will work hard for the seller. So I think in a hot market like this, hiring a realtor is more important than ever. So
thank you very much. Good job. Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. You can step down. Pat.
Yes.
Okay. Roger, let me know when we are rolling.
Okay. Now.
Pat, what's the outlook for home sales here in our community? Summer typically is when sales really kick into high gear. What are you expecting to see this summer?
We're expecting to see a fabulous market. Right now, interest rates are low, below 4%, and prices are affordable. My tip to sellers is to make sure your home is lean and clean. My tip to buyers is to make sure that you offer a strong offer. Good down payment, good credit. Now's the time.
Thank you very much. Good job. Yeah, just a couple quick observations. John, loved how you had your points enumerated. That really helps reporters. Pat, loved your little my tips for buyers, my tip for sellers. That's great soundbite. And I picked Pat out of the audience to be our volunteer because of what she is wearing. Did that red, solid red, not look just awesome? Thank you very much. Okay. Yes, the camera light is very bright. That's the way it really is. So, Tessa, what suggestions do you have as a realtor for first-time homebuyers, especially those millennials that we keep hearing are never going to be able to afford a home? Is that true?
Well, no, that's a great question. So first-time homebuyers in particular would benefit from understanding the process and what to expect as they go through the home buying process. So I would highly recommend that they visit the Realtor.com site and watch the Learn with Liz videos, which will walk them through everything from deciding if it's the right time to buy and if they're ready to buy financially through the closing process. And then when they find that they're ready to buy that home, call a realtor.
Thank you very much. Good job. All right. All of you guys, awesome. Tessa just said, sorry, I grabbed the mic. You know, it's funny. That happens all the time. It just seems to be a natural thing to do. Don't do that. Yeah. Reporters really don't like it. And do not touch the cameras for whatever reason. Those guys are like really, really very protective of their cameras. I had a good fraternity brother moved on to work for ABC News. And he was a videographer. He would buy the airline or the network would pay for a first class seat for his camera. Probably don't do that in today's environment, but okay, so just to recap as we wrap up here, remember. Three steps of the process. You manage the inquiry, make sure you know what you're getting into, take the time to prepare, spend a little time practicing, then conduct your interview, and you will be a savvy media star. Thank you all very much. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. See people out in the hallway, send them in. And also thanks to the three of you all did a great job. Roger, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.